If I have these instructions and I just kind of get it into my head but forget about them and then say, now, Lord, what should I do with my wife? Oh, I told you over here. Okay. Lord, should I divorce her? Oh, no, I already told you over here. Oh, Lord, there's another woman there. She looks good. My wife, she's getting old. I like that one better. What should I do? You're going to hear God go real silent on you.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. Coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Imagine for a moment how it would be if suddenly there were no more cell phones, no email, no voicemail, no text messaging. Wow, scary thought, isn't it? And yet, there are times when God is silent. We read His Word, but He doesn't speak to us. We pray, but we don't feel His presence. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us that at those times, God may be trying to send us a different message. But just before the message, we have a special treat. Here's a song for you performed by our New Hope Men's Ministry.
For those of you who think that the men's ministry has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, well, now you know. Glory, glory. Oh, yeah, you better put your hands together. Like you know up in here. Here we go. Come on. GP.
Lately I've been going through something that's really got me down.
Oh yeah. Put your hands together. Come on, turn.
I need someone, somebody to help me come and turn my life around.
I feel like having church up in here. Woo!
I can't explain it. Uh-huh. I can't obtain it.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, your love is so, it's so clap my hands, makes me wanna dance and stomp.
Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, When God is Silent.
Well, would you take out your notes with me as we continue in our series called Can You Hear Me Now? And we're going to talk about something that might even sound a bit like an oxymoron, when God seems silent. Reason? Because we live in such a noisy world. I mean, most houses, they don't want to be silent. They want noise. So in homes, you'll have radios playing or televisions going just so that there's no quiet, because we need noise. And you take a look around. I mean, there's just so much noise in our society. You go to the mall and there's noise. You got to be in the car with a radio on. You have talk politics. You have talk shows. You have talk radio. You have telephone, telegraph, teleportagee. You have so many things that just make for noise. Even cars, you can just talk to cars now. You know that? I was test driving one where you just talk to the console and you just tell it something and it looks up something on the GPS for you. If you have what they call Bluetooth technology, you can have your cell phone on your belt or in your briefcase, and because it sort of links up with your car now, you can just say, call home. It dials through your phone and it comes over the radio and it talks to you. When your door is open, it'll say, your door is ajar. It's amazing. Everything talks. I even have my computer set to tell me on the hour what time it is. So I'll be typing and it'll say, it's 1 o'clock. It's kind of cool. Everything talks. Clocks, speaking about clocks that talk, you got to hear this one. This is so cool. There's this, have you heard of the Portuguese talking clock? Well, there's this friend that was with his buddy, a college buddy. They were studying really, really late one night for a final exam in the dorm. And as he's studying, he looks up on his friend's bookshelf. There's this huge Chinese gong and a 16-ounce hammer next to it. And he said to his friend, what's that? He said, that's a Portuguese talking clock. And he said, no way. He said, yeah. He said, tells me the time. No way. Yeah. You like to see? Yeah. So he picks up the hammer and he hits that thing. Gong! This ringing noise. Just immediately on the other side of the wall, you heard this voice say, hey, dumb Portuguese, can't you tell it's 1:30? Some of you took a little while to get it. Kind of delayed reaction. Laughter, laughter, laughter. Laughter, laughter. That's the Portuguese right over there, right over there. Sometimes we want people to be quiet, and it works, and we're glad. But you know, one of the scariest things of all, I think, is when God seems silent. When God seems silent. Because when he is, I feel like David. And let's read what he says at the top of our notes together. I feel like David. Let's read Psalm 83:1. Go. Oh God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent. And oh God, do not be still. You can just sense the urgency in his heart. Does God ever seem silent? I have to admit that he does. There's times in my life that I'm not able to hear him that well. And I wish I could say he's always clear, always clarion. His voice is distinct. I hear him all the time, but that would be a lie. Because we're all humans. We go through times where we're a little disoriented. We might be being pulled emotionally, or there'll be a mood of anger or discontentedness or depression. And his voice isn't as clear as it once was. What do you do during those seasons? How do you continue to navigate? Or do you just end up shipwrecked? What do you do? Do you go on your own recognizance? Do you do your own thing during that time? What? And if you're not careful, when God is silent, that's when we make the biggest mistakes in life. So how can we avoid that season where we would take matters into our own hands because God didn't say anything? You didn't tell me what to do, and we blame God for our mistakes. Well, he was silent. What do you do during those seasons when God seems silent? And we're so prone to errors because of the human condition. One of the things we want to do is quickly evaluate and see why God may seem silent. And I'm going to give you two possibilities, but then I want to zero in on one really important issue. But let's take a look at two possibilities why God may seem silent, how we can evaluate and maybe correct it. The first is this: when God seems silent, would you write in number one, check your heart in regards to unresolved sin. Check your heart. Because if you're angry, you're bitter, you're upset, you're discontented, you're gossiping, slandering, whatever it might be, if your heart is in that condition, listen, the Bible says the wages of sin is, what was it? Death, which means a separation from God. When I have unresolved sin in my life, you know what sin does? It's like cutting the wires. God is still talking, but the wires cut. I can't receive anything. I can't hear Him. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. I've got to make sure that that's repaired first. And that's when we come before God. Before we get mad at Him, cry out to Him. Search me, O God. Always start with yourself. It's so easy to blame somebody else. His fault, her fault, that's why I'm angry. Well, it's your anger that's cut the lines, not their performance or lack of performance. And we can blame them till we're blue in the face, but they don't cut off God's wires to us. We do. Nobody does that but you. So when I can't hear God, I can blame nobody except myself, because it is impossible for them to cut off my communication or communion with God. Only I can do that. So I can blame them, but it's not their fault. It is my own angst or anger or bitterness or discontentedness or frustration with, and then I allow it to take up audience within me. That's what snips the lines. So I, like David, need to come before God and say, search me, O God, and know my, not theirs, my heart. Try me and see if there's anything in me that's snipping lines, and restore it. You got to remember that Jesus did not come to this earth to bring a new religion. He didn't come to bring a new philosophy. He didn't come to bring just another way of believing God or using God for our own purposes. Here's the reason Jesus came: to repair broken relationships with God. And He's still doing it today. So when God seems silent, the first thing we need to do is check and see if there's any unresolved sin. Let's read together what Psalm 66:18 says. Go. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not. Yeah, there's a broken line. Another reason God seems silent at times about our future or things upcoming is because we aren't ready to hear what He might have in store, whether it's a valley we're going to go through or a mountaintop with accolades. He knows that we're not ready to face that with the character and the depth we have now. So He actually hides the future. You know why? Because sometimes God will show, if something great's going to happen, He'll show it to us, and we'll get so proud, our pride will blow us up like a toad, and we won't need to depend on God anymore because I got it. Or on the other hand, if He shows us something that may be a valley, we'll get bitter and upset at God. So what the Lord says is, I'm not going to show you that. In fact, I want you to depend on me day by day. Don't worry about the future. Just walk closely with me. And when you get to that point, I will have in you built enough character and depth so that you'll be adequate and equipped for that season. But if I tell you now, it'll just ruin you. And that's what He did with Abraham. He did that with Abraham. Let's read the scripture first and then fill in the next bullet. Would you read Genesis 18? Go. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He said, Abraham is going to be so grand, I can't show it to you now, because you'll mess it up. You'll start to try to bring things to pass by your own strength, your own control. You'll try to fulfill it in your own way, and I can't allow you to do that. One of the dangerous things about prophecy used to be a really big deal some years ago. In fact, you could call this 1-800 number and it said, get your word from the Lord. And people would run to conferences to get their word from the Lord. And I thought, oh no, we are not mature enough yet to receive some of those things, because once you get something, you'll start to try and figure it out yourself. And how, well, God said, so I'm going to. And the Lord says, no, I'll bring it to pass if it comes to pass. You just walk with me and you stay clean and you depend on me as a disciple. I'll take care of that. You take care of this. Well, otherwise, we'll flip it around. And so he had to say to Abraham, I'm going to withhold that from you because you're going to be a great and mighty nation, but I want you to stay humble and walk with me. And when you arrive there, you will have built enough humility and strength and depth of character so that I can now have that promise in you sustained and not destroyed. So why does God sometimes seem silent about certain issues? Would you write in the second bullet? To guard us from ourselves. Guard us from ourselves. But here is the one we want to zero in on. Not only could it be unresolved sin, or just to guard us from ourselves, to keep us depending on Him day by day, but sometimes God seems silent. You know why? Here it is. As we grow in the Lord, and you're just brand new, you're still fragile. Now, God's going to start speaking to you certain principles about your life, your marriage, your family. Your priorities have been, say, out of kilter. And He, through what would seem like a current revelation, He brings them back into order, back into priority. Now, later on down the line, if I have these instructions and I just kind of get it into my head but forget about them and then say, now, Lord, what should I do with my wife? Oh, I told you over here. Okay. Lord, should I divorce her? No, I already told you over here. Oh, Lord, there's another woman there. She looks good. My wife, she's getting old. I like that one better. What should I do? You're going to hear God go real silent on you. It's almost as if I told you already. But you have not taken a current revelation over here and made it a conviction. You heard it, but you didn't learn it. You have ears that don't hear. You have eyes that don't see. And I'm going to ask Him the same thing. And if I'm not careful, that which should have become a principle of life will have just been a passing instruction. And I'm going to trip over it again and again and again. Why? Let me tell you why sometimes God stays silent. You know what He's doing? Would you write it in your third bullet? To check our obedience to what we have already heard. To check our obedience to what we've already heard. How many times people will come into my office and they'll say, you know, Wayne, what should I do about this or about that? And I'll say something and they'll look at me and say, I thought you'd say that. I said, well, good. What are you going to do about it? Well, I don't know. I don't like come talk to you. Why? Because I know what you're going to say. I said, well, maybe God's already said this. And the reason He seems silent, because you have yet to obey what He's already said. Has it gone from your head down to your heart yet? Because you see, when it stays in your head, it makes us Pharisees. We know the colloquialisms, we know the sayings, we know the scriptures, we know the Christian jargon, but we haven't been transformed because God's instructions when we were younger, when we were going through the problems in the first place, God's instructions must become convictions. His promptings must become principles because, mark my words, you're going to go through a time when you're disoriented and you won't be hearing God. And if these things haven't been stored in your heart, you've got nothing from which to draw. You have no grain stored in the times of famine. And God's word becomes something that sinks into my heart and it becomes principles by which I live. But if it doesn't get into my heart, I'm in trouble. That happened with Hezekiah. Let's read the scripture together and find out what He says to Hezekiah. Go. God left Hezekiah alone only to test him. Why? That he might know all that was in his heart. Yeah. Right, it's God's instructions becoming principles by which we live. Let me tell you, it's going to be important to store away grain because there will be seasons of famine and you need to have this. But if you say, nah, I don't need that. I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need to, you know, I know what God says, but everybody else is doing it. You're going to have a season of famine. You'll have zero. That's why the Bible says in John 14:26, the Holy Spirit will bring back to remembrance all the things that I have taught you. But if I haven't stored anything away, the Holy Spirit's going to reach down in times of famine to bring up something out of the storeroom and there's nothing there. So although He's faithful to bring back to remembrance all that He's taught me, if I've got nothing in my remembrance, He's got nothing to bring back. So at the beginning, God is going to give us instructions and principles. Now watch this. There's going to be times when God seems silent. You need to have something in your storeroom that's solid. Some time ago, I was driving through Kahala, and they'd put in a median strip, and you can tell that they had transplanted some of these saplings from a nursery or whatever, because they were about 9 feet tall, and you can tell that they had transplanted these things, planted them in the ground, about 20 of them, beautiful and straight, but on the outside, there were these standards or these guy wires to hold them up. A couple of days later, one of the stakes that was holding one of those guy wires had snapped, or the stake came loose, and so it was slack, but the tree was still straight. I thought, they don't need those guy wires. But as we have sometimes here in Hawaii, we had a windstorm one night, and as I drove by the same median strip the following day, that thing had been uprooted and growing at a 45 degree angle. And I thought, well, someone's going to come and fix it. Well, it just so happened that no one did, or the county didn't know about it. But it stayed that way for about 2 weeks. And when someone did finally come to take care of it, it was dead. They had to uproot it and throw it away. And I thought, interesting. Even though those saplings looked straight and looks like they didn't need any of those instructive wires, those accountability wires, they really did because of the storms. You see, if we live an ideal life and you'll never get your faith challenged, you don't need any instructions or accountability or disciplines in your life. But there's going to be times early on in your faith, before your roots are really even set, your faith will get tested by storms. And you'll need those wires. That's why devotions, accountability groups, care groups are so incredibly important. But if you say, well, I don't have time to go to all of these, then if your faith is still very new and you snip off all of those activities, it may be fine if there's no storms. But mark my words, it won't be long before there's going to be a storm in your marriage, your family, your finances, your job, relationships, and you'll be upended. But you say, well, when do these ever get snipped on the outside? Well, they might. But make sure that when you snip an external guy wire, an instructive wire, one of these systems of accountability, that simultaneously, instantaneously, there's one that you put on the inside, that there's a self-correcting, self-evaluating system. Snip on the inside, there's a strength, and the roots start going down, because the storms will hit, and you better be strong before they do. So that you start putting stuff on the inside. And when that happens, you take the instructions, watch this, that God has given, and you put it on the inside, they become principles by which I live. No, not just philosophies, principles. And I'm actually transformed by the principles of God. You know why it's so important? If you just have these instructions, so I know what God says, I know what the scripture says, and I know what the church says, I know, but it's just, that's a Christian philosophy. If it's just in your head, you will be vulnerable to the enemy's attacks. Ultimately, we will reproduce what we are.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled, When God is Silent, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll bring you the conclusion on tomorrow's program. For those of you who listen to Words of New Hope regularly, we encourage you to consider becoming part of our support family. One way you can do so is by visiting our website and ordering products from the resources department. You can go to www.enewhope.org and click on the resources tab. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.